Welcome to Boxcar English, where there's always room for you. My name is Carl. It's good to see you. Get on this train and let's ride. I've got another story for you today. If you've listened to any of my stories before, you might know that I'm a janitor. That means I clean up places for a living. And the place I keep clean most of the time is a school, a primary school. It's called Haytown Elementary School. I love being a janitor. But I know some people who haven't liked it, who decided that being a janitor wasn't for them. Because you see, a janitor's work is very repetitive. I do the same thing almost every day. Almost. I like that about it. I like to know what's going to happen every day. But also every day is a little bit different, too. The seasons change. We turn the heaters on in the winter, and we open the windows in the spring. The decorations on the walls change from fall leaves to snowflakes, to pink flowers, to bright yellow suns and blue skies. And the kids are always changing, growing up. I see them come in as little babies, crying for mama. And by the time they leave, they're running around playing soccer and putting on plays in the gym. Their writing homework on the walls starts from the ABCs and ends up with reports on countries all over the world. It makes you want to cry. All those changing dreams those kids have. When I was their age, you know, I didn't think I would end up being a janitor. But I'm not disappointed. I'm proud. Because I'm doing something good for these kids. And not just keeping the place clean. I'm also there to be a good example of an adult who's kind, who helps out, who's relaxed, who just lets the kids be who they are. Without any judgment. It's a hard world out there. And those kids need that. But, sorry. I'm getting a little worked up here. Close up, of course, from day to day. The job is maybe less romantic. I sweep the floors. I mop the floors. I clean the toilets. I wash the windows. I clean the spider webs off the ceilings. I dump all the trash cans into a big trash bag, and then I put that big trash bag out in the dumpster behind the school. I take the recycling bins out and empty them into the big recycling bin, which is also out back by the dumpster. So, you could say I clean the place from front to back every day. I know every inch of that school. Last October, though, something different happened. Something I'd never expected to happen at work. First of all, Mr. Mintz, who teaches fourth grade, he told me a little girl had thrown up in the bathroom. Well, that's not so different. Well, that happens regularly, maybe once a week. You get used to it, it's not so bad. Anyway, I went into the bathroom. It was a girl's bathroom, upstairs. And the sun was shining right through the window, high up on the wall. You could see the big beam of light coming through very strong, so beautiful. So I saw the throw-up near the other wall across from the window, and I noticed something shining in the light. It was in one of the old heaters in the bathroom. This school, you see, it was built in the 1940s. In the 1940s, they used different kinds of heaters. They were built into the wall, and they used gas. When you turned them on, you could see these blue flames inside. Blue flames, you see. It was gas heating. Well, over the years, they installed new heaters a long time ago, before I became the janitor. But they left the old heaters in the walls. And I don't really notice those heaters anymore. I barely remember they're there. But now, in that special light, I could see a shiny object, something made of metal. I looked closer. It looked like a piece of jewelry. I couldn't reach it with my fingers. There's these bars on the heaters. So I took a pencil out of my pocket and I put it through the bars. There was a lot of dust inside because it's very hard to clean underneath those bars. But I put the pencil through the bars and worked it until all this dust came out. And I could see the piece of metal kind of coming out, and I blew on it. And when I blew on it, some of that dust got into my eyes. That hurt. I had to close my eyes, and they started watering. I blinked and blinked my eyes. You know when you get dust in your eyes? I blinked until I couldn't feel the dust in them anymore. And when I opened my eyes again, because of the tears in them, everything looked blurry. The light from the window was even brighter. And because my eyes were wet, there were little lines coming off of the shiny object, which I could see now was a silver ring. It was glorious. I couldn't believe that such a thing, such a treasure, could be hidden from me in this school that I know so well. I put the ring in my pocket and finished cleaning the bathroom. When I was finished, I went down to the principal's office and showed the silver ring to Principal Youngdear. First, her eyes got wide, and then they got narrow, because I guess she didn't know what she was looking at. I told her where and how I found it. "Is it real?" she asked. "Take a look," I said, and I put the ring in her hand. Principal Youngdear held it up to her eyes and said it seemed like real silver to her. "Wonder how it got there," she said. "Well," she said, "if you can't find the owner, I guess it's yours to keep, Carl." "Oh, no," I said. I was a little embarrassed by that. I'd already been thinking about how to find the owner and wondering who that could be and how I could do that. Well, after school, I drove to the jewelry store in Haytown. It's called Ferris Jewelry, like a Ferris wheel, but of course, not really as fun. I'd never been in there, and I was nervous walking in. I think they could tell I wasn't going to buy anything by how I was dressed in work clothes. But an old man that worked there, I guess it was Mr. Ferris, he was nice enough to look at the ring. He told me it was an older ring, probably made in the 1940s, like our school. I don't know how he could tell that, and I wanted to ask, but I didn't really feel comfortable in there. And I had to get on to the next step of finding the owner of the ring. I decided to make flyers. I took a picture of the ring with my phone, which was actually very hard to do, and I put some words around it. I wrote, "Lost ring found at Haytown Elementary in the upstairs girls' bathroom. Is it yours? ?" Then I put my phone number under that. I printed 50 flyers at the print shop, which cost me $10, plus some tape for $2 more. And I went and put the flyers up all over Haytown, 50 of them. By the time I was done, it was dark, and they were everywhere, all over town. The next day, I got a lot of calls about that ring. I stopped counting around 30. None of them were real, though. None of them were believable. The person calling either sounded way too young to have been alive in the 1940s or 1950s, or they got angry when I asked them to tell me even simple details about the ring or what years they went to Haytown Elementary. And after about a week, nobody called anymore. So Principal Youngdeer and I, we talked to the police. We put ads up on the internet, on social media. We made a note about it for each kid to show their parents. We contacted about 50 teachers who used to work at the school, but no luck. Months passed. April came around and we hadn't found out anything at all. Principal Youngdeer said I should just keep the ring. But I felt really weird about that. Everyone in Haytown knew about that ring at that point. And, well, what was I going to do with it anyway? Still, I had the ring in my hand, and I was looking at it, and I decided to try putting it on my finger. I tried to slide it onto the ring finger on my right hand, and it was a little bit tight, but I managed to push it over the second knuckle. And then I realized that I should not have tried to do that because I could not take it off. I started to panic then because I really didn't want anyone to see me wearing the ring. Fortunately, I have a box of plastic gloves that I use when I clean toilets. I put a pair of those on and kept them on until the day's work was finished. By the end of the day, I had decided, definitely, that as soon as I could get the ring off my finger, I would not keep it. When I got home, I watched some videos on the internet about how to take tight rings off fingers. But nothing worked. I tried ice, Vaseline, and even dental floss. And eventually I gave up and went to sleep. And when I woke up the next morning, the ring was not on my finger. I looked everywhere in my bed and around the room, but it was nowhere to be found. When I went to work that morning, I wished very badly that I had the ring with me. I had this great idea, you see, that the ring should be kept in the school, on display, as a kind of mystery, good luck charm kind of thing, but of course I didn't have it anymore. So I decided not to mention it to anyone. I went through the day as usual, and nobody ever said anything about the ring. But when it came time to clean the girls' bathroom upstairs where I had found it, I couldn't help but look in the heater, and there it was. Again, the same silver ring. Well, I took it out again and brought it back to Principal Youngdeer and told her my idea. To keep the ring in the school for all to look at and wonder at. Ms. Walters, the shop teacher where they make things with wood, she made a little glass display box for it, just like you would see in a museum. The art teacher, Mr. Thompson, made a sign for it. He wrote in fancy letters, "Mystery Ring, found in the girls' bathroom on the second floor." It's become a good luck charm for the students, just like I'd hoped. Now when kids are about to have a test or sing for people or anything, they go and look at that ring and they ask it for luck. And it seems like it really works. Grades have been going up. So, yeah, I like my job. It's almost the same every day. Almost. That's all for this time, my good friends. Thanks for listening to Boxcar English, where there's always room for you.